To Be of Use by Aricet, read by Is Sweden. Chapter 29, Nerve, Part 1. It was described as a minor haunting, which normally would have not given Lan Chan even a moment's pause, but he was handling it with an 11-year-old and 3 12-year-olds. That gave everything an edge of potential disaster, no matter how well-trained these boys might be. The 4 older members of this class were on a similar hunt, supervised by Lan Yining and Song Jidi, and Lan Chan was devoting considerable mental energy to not fretting over them as well. Halfway down the dirt track to the location of the haunting, he stopped and looked the juniors over sharply. They all shifted to attention. Who can summarize how we will deal with the situation? All of the other boys promptly looked at Sushui, who smiled slightly and said,
"Hangeon-jun will play rest. We will make sure nothing gets to him while he is doing so. The farmer said the spirit couldn't possess him, so it probably isn't too terribly strong.
But it can possess the farmer's livestock," Jing Yi contributed. That had been his favorite part of the farmer's tale.
"So we just have to make sure Hangeon-jun isn't gored by an ox or something."
"Even if it cannot possess humans, the spirit still has a strong resentful energy," Lan Zhan cautioned. "And it could be more than one. Your swords are imbued with spiritual energy, so they will have some effect, but it can still harm you. And what do you need to remember about the farmer's livestock?"
"Don't kill all his stuff," Zhang Dao said in a clipped voice. He had become even more taciturn than usual in the past few months since his voice started cracking hysterically at unpredictable moments. Lan Zhan nodded in approval, and Sujue frowned.
I understand that we can do that, for example, with the farmer's oxen. We can simply lure it away from Hangeon-jun, or deflect its horns from ourselves. But how do you fend off a possessed chicken without hurting it?"
Jing Yi choked on a laugh, and Sushui hit his arm lightly.
"Obviously we can, you know, not stab it. But wouldn't it be hurt by us kicking it or something as well?"
"The resentful energy will make them stronger," Bowen offered.
"If, in the process of defeating evil, you have to kick the farmer's chickens," Lan Zhan said in a perfectly flat tone, enjoying that this was the type of problem he had these days, "I feel confident he will be able to forgive you."
"No one's clawing Hangeon-jun on my watch," Jing Yi said brightly. "I'm good at jinzu. I bet I could keep a chicken in the air, no problem."
Lan Zhan sighed. When they reached the paddock the farmer had spoken of, if the destruction didn't tell them this was the right place, the resentful energy would have.
"Hangeon-jun, I thought the spirit was weak," Sushui said. There was a crease between his brows. "It feels very strong."
"Could just be active," Lan Zhan said, and stepped over a fallen board to sit down in the clearest spot in the paddock. He summoned his jin and began playing rest without even a pause as the kids scrambled to catch up.
Let's spread out around the inside of the broken fence, Su Jue told the others, so we can see in every direction. They obeyed without question, before Bolin stopped in the center of the paddock and squinted down at the ground.
This dirt is a lot harder than I thought it would be. It's very solid. Couldn't we carve in a body lock array to hold the axe?
What happened to fighting it? Qing Yi said, and got an evil eye in return.
Oxen are big, Bowen said, exasperated.
Go ahead and try it, Su Jue cut in decisively. Zhong Dao and I will keep watch.
Lan Zhan, pleased, continued to play, keeping his ears tuned to the sounds around him. The boys started busily scratching lines with their swords in the hard-packed dirt. He sensed the approach first, but kept it to himself. They had to learn such things by doing. Not long after he noticed it, Bowen's head shot up.
Can't you feel that?
Su Jue said, and drew his sword with a smooth movement. No sooner had he done so than a blur of something small and brownish shot out of the woods, heading directly for Lan Zhan. Su Jue, with a surprised shout, danced to the side and swung his blade in a textbook-perfect low strike. It hit the thing, and should have bisected it. Instead, the creature was just driven to the side by the hit and darted back into the underbrush.
I thought we were trying not to kill the chickens,
Jing Yi yelped, hurrying to finish the array.
It wasn't a chicken, Su Jue said,
trying to stay cool, although to Lan Zhan's ears, he was clearly excited.
Some other creature.
A dole, Lan Zhan contributed, and Su Jue beamed at him.
Ah, thank you.
It came back as he was speaking, this time from another angle, and Zhang Dao swung at it with his mouth set in a grimly determined line. Like before, his blow also sent it skidding back across the ground. This time, Su Jue was there, driving his blade down point first and impaling the dole with a subdued flash of blue energy. It made no sound as it died, and the boys all flinched as a dust devil of black, resentful energy ripped out of it and disappeared into the foliage.
Got it? Buin said, inspecting their array closely.
And Su Jue nodded.
Poor thing.
Get ready, Lan Zhan reminded them coolly, and started the passage of rest where spirits tended to really start to object. The boys had barely a moment to do so before a much more thundering rustling broke out, and then the farmer's ox was plowing through a fence post, showing clearly how the rest of the paddock had come to be in such a state. The boys all cried out. Bowen, with a word Lan Zhan would have to assign him lines for later, and scattered. The possessed ox's attention was squarely locked on Lan Zhan, who met its beady eyes with an unimpressed stare and continued rest. It pawed its cloven front foot on the ground and made as if to charge at him before Su Shui's foxfire talisman burst right in front of its face with a shower of white sparks. The ox shook its head, dazzled, and Zhong Dao darted forwards to cut at its side. It shied away, twisting to bring its great horns to bear on the youngest junior disciple, and Jing Yi stepped in with a shout to deflect the horn with his sword. The ox made a sound no living creature should make and stepped sideways to regain its footing. Zhang Dao struck at its side again,
and it dodged the blow right into the array. With a look of triumph, Bowen opened the skin of his hand on his blade and slapped his bleeding palm down on the array. The ox in the center froze as still as a statue.
Perfect! Su Jue cried, and the boys each backed away from the paralyzed beast, forming up around Lan Zhan again.
Before he could warn them, a swarm of resentful energy seeped out of the ox and formed into a semi-solid shape in the center of the paddock. The spirit twisted, coalesced into something recognizably human, with limbs and head and eyes like pinpricks of red light. Beside Lan Zhan, Jingyi abruptly froze, the point of his sword dropping. He made a choked sound Lan Zhan had never heard from him before, and stumbled a half step back, almost hiding behind his teacher now, instead of protecting him. Su Shui took the necessary half-step forwards to cover the space he left, and activated a talisman that zipped into the center mass of the spirit and made it let out a broken hiss. There was a moment of standoff, both the spirit and the boy still in place. But of course, disciples of Gu Sulan knew rest by heart, and would know that with one more passage. The spirit quivered in place, then gently fell to pieces. As the black energy dissipated as quietly and harmlessly as smoke, the boys cheered indecorously. Lan Zhan politely overlooked the breach in etiquette and dismissed his Jin, rising smoothly to his feet and saying, "Well done." Jingyi, right at his back now that he was standing, was concerningly quiet, and Lan Zhan was alarmed to feel him trembling slightly where he stood. Rather than single him out, he said, "Let us free the ox, then, and return to the farmer to let him know the task is done. Su Shui, take up the dole. They should make use of it." "Don't be wasteful," he agreed, and went to drag over the beast. Bowen helped him carry it, and they returned to the farmhouse in good spirits. Except Jingyi, strangely quiet the whole trip.
Chapter 30, Nerve, Part 2. When they returned, the farmer and his wife thanked them profusely with many bows. Lan Zhan made all the correct forms, and then told them, "As I said to start, this is of course not a service that we were expecting recompense for. The educational experience for the disciples was more than enough." He bowed again. "We will depart for cloud recesses now."
"Young master, you don't..." "That is," the farmer stammered, and looked to his wife with wide, "help me," eyes.
She laid a hand on his arm and took over.
"Master cultivator, please. We would never dream of assuming the abilities of yourself or the young masters. But it will soon be dark. Would it not be safer for you to travel in the morning after a good rest?" She gestured with her chin toward the kitchen. "Please, we have prepared a meal for you all to share, and agreed on quarters as well. I am sorry that it will not be as comfortable as the young masters would find in an inn or at home, but Han Guangjun can take our room, and there are enough blankets for the youngsters to be quite comfortable in the hay in the shed."
"How could we leave elders without a bed?" Lan Zhan demurred firmly.
We have sleeping mats our grandchildren use when they visit, she returned, equally firm. We will be quite comfortable here in front of the hearth.
He looked at her and decided this was an argument he would not win unless he wanted to be rude. Instead, he just bowed.
Very well, then.
He turned to the farmer.
Sir, if we can impose on your courtesy still more, we have a dhole with us that was killed in the conflict. We do not eat meat in our sect, so the disciples have no experience with such things. But it would be beneficial for them to know how to skin such a kill to avoid waste in future hunts. If you were amenable...
of course, the farmer cried, looking relieved. I have taught all my grandchildren the same. It will be no problem at all.
Lan Zhan inclined his head, and then looked over the boys. Su Xue, you and Wang Buwen will learn from our host. Li Zhengdao, you will assist the madam with her dinner preparations. Everyone, leave your swords here. Lan Jingyi and I will set up the shed for you all, and then clean and maintain the weapons. Everyone did as they were told, although Su Xue snuck in a reassuring squeeze of his best friend's hand as he handed over his sword. Then it was just Lan Zhan and Jingyi in the shed. There wasn't much preparation to be done. The couple had already laid out old but sturdy blankets over the pile of hay to make more than enough space for the four young boys to lie down, even if one of those boys was Jingyi and sprawled like an octopus in their sleep. He sat down on the ground and began checking over Zhengdao's sword, as Jingyi did the same with Su Xue's. Lan Zhan did not say anything, trusting to Jingyi's nature to take care of things for him. But the boy was silent throughout the whole process. Once they were done cleaning all the swords, Lan Zhan ducked his head enough to catch Jingyi's downturned eyes. Jingyi crumpled like a cheap paper lantern.
Hongguan Jun, this disciple is sorry.
Lan Zhan cocked his head to the side.
I don't know what happened,
Jingyi said quietly, worrying at his lip with his teeth and his sleeve with his hands.
It was like I froze. I couldn't even think.
Lan Zhan waited a moment, then pointed out carefully, you have not had such a reaction to such sights before. This was the first hunt the boys had participated in, but they had accompanied seniors on several hunts over the past year as observers. Lan Zhan knew for a fact that Jingyi had seen multiple kinds of monsters, spirits, and living corpses. Jingyi buried his face in his hands.
I don't know what it was, his muffled voice wailed. I was fine when it was in the animals. And even the monsters I've seen weren't so bad, but...
He shuddered and sat up.
Hongguan Jun, the way it felt, the way it looked, it was shaped like a person, but it was so... The way it was not solid, and the way it moved, and the eyes... He choked on a rush of tears and hid his face in his hands once more. How can I be a cultivator if I'm afraid of a stupid, weak ghost? Cowards can't be cultivators.
Lan Zhan hesitated,
almost biting his lip. Jing Yi had started wearing his hair in a proper half-up top knot, so there was no longer a ponytail to tug. Instead, he reached out and gently tugged the end of the boy's sleeve. Jing Yi is not a coward. I do not know why this fear is something you experience, but it is not something you have chosen. How can you be judged for it? Certainly, I will not. He tried to smile. Weren't you afraid of Grand Master Lan Shiren at first? Now you enjoy his company. I know it. He tries to pretend he doesn't like it, but he wouldn't have so many of your punishments take place in his presence if he didn't appreciate the work you do for him. Surely, this is a fear you can overcome with time also. Jing Yi sniffed and reached out to Lan Zhan's free hand. He held two of the fingers tentatively. Lan Zhan lightly stroked the back of that hand with his thumb.
Han Ganjun, have you?
He cut himself off with a disgusted face. No, stupid question. Lan Zhan gave him a level stare that Jing Yi correctly interpreted as, I'll be the judge of that.
Well, I was just wondering, have you ever been afraid of anything like that?
He carefully considered his answer. I have been afraid many times. I am fortunate to have not had that kind of unreasonable fear. Jing Yi sighed, looking very unsurprised.
I kind of figured.
Jing Yi. The boy started and blinked at the firmness in his voice. I said I was fortunate. It is through no virtue or skill that I have not had such an issue. He hesitated, then drew up his nerve and continued. Wei Yun, the Yunnan patriarch, was afraid of dogs.
Dogs?
His eyes were wide.
Really?
Terrified. It did not make him less brave or skillful. It simply was. The other people around him helped. He tilted his head to the side. Should we look down on your senior sister, Yuning, because she needs her fellow disciples to help her with her hair every morning?
Of course not, Jing Yi said, indignant. It's very hard to do that sort of thing with one hand. And besides...
He stopped.
Oh, but Han Ganjun, needing help with your hair is something very different than not being able to do your job.
He blinked slowly. I still don't agree that you will be unable to do your job. You will learn how to handle this issue. And in the meantime, you will make accommodations with your fellow disciples that will enable you to still help against such foes. Jing Yi's mouth opened and shut as he started and rejected several arguments. Then he flopped backwards into the pile of hay and groaned.
Just once, though, Ayun's dad. I'd like to be able to do things right the first time. How am I the most un-Lan ever?
Lan Zhan couldn't think of a proper counter, so he should have said nothing. But he instead found himself saying,
I think Lan Yi still wins.
The boy shot upright, doing a very good impression of Su Shui's.
I don't know if that's true, but I'm too polite to argue, face.
But because it was Jing Yi, he wasn't too polite to say,
what?
Our ancestress Lan Yi. I met her spirit in the cold pond cave. He had never seen Jing Yi look so off-kilter.
What?
You have studied the events of the war, of course, he said. You know that she spoke to us to warn us of the danger. Jing Yi nodded, but didn't look any less astonished. You will also have encountered her story in your history lessons. I know someone who loves stories like Ah Jing Yi would not overlook such a good one.
But how is she on land, though? Jing Yi squeaked.
Lan Zhan got his thoughts in order, summoning his jin for the comforting weight of it on his legs, and the warm sound it made when he brushed the strings. She wanted to overturn everything, not merely disregard this or that rule. She wasn't afraid of acting in the moment, or of aggression. He felt himself smile slightly. She was an innovator. Our clan is known for our scholarship, our mastery of the ancient arts. But who amongst us has invented something truly new since her Cord assassination?
Hong Kong Jun! Jing Yi was indignant. I can't believe we're saying that Lan An's granddaughter is on land.
He was thinking about it, though, Lan Zhan could see. Be that as it may, you are Lan. If someone says otherwise, I will be happy to correct them on your behalf. Jing Yi's shocked expression melted into a smile.
Ai Yuan's dad, you...
He trailed off and tipped sideways against Lan Zhan's arm. Lan Zhan agreed. Come, let us see if they need us for dinner. Chapter 31 Discussion. With all their other responsibilities, it took Jing Yi's class a full year to get their annotated rule notebooks back to Lan Zhan. 8 notebooks, Lan Yishan and Lan Rolun had wanted to participate when they saw what the others were doing in spare moments snatched between classes. Then it took him over a month just to go through them.
We figured the first rules ever written were the most important, Jing Yi had said, crowding against his side and trying to page through 3 books at once. So we all did the first 500, then we divided up the others.
The others, as it happened, meant that they had gone through all the rules, not just those he had identified in that first notebook. So it was no surprise it had taken them as long as it had.
Lan Zhan had thought at first to simply skim the notebooks, still of the opinion that there was no wrong answer. And they had clearly thought more deeply about the rules, so in that sense they had already succeeded. But the first notebook, Jing Yi's, was so interesting that he found himself carving out spare time
specifically to read through their insights. He wouldn't have thought he could love Jingyi or Sishui more, but they kept proving him wrong. There was an entire worldview contained in each of these notebooks. He got so absorbed in Jingyi's when he first began that he found himself reading far past 9 o'clock. The strength of his convictions shone through. His love of justice and beauty, his hatred of wickedness and cruelty, the little turns of phrase that made Lan Zhan want to laugh out loud, even the occasional heedlessness, missing what seemed to Lan Zhan to be obvious points. His handwriting was messy, but it was also alive, full of energy and enthusiasm and strength. The lines were as bold as Lan Qiren's. When Lan Zhan finished reading it, he tucked it amongst his treasures, the little memories of Ayun and Wei Ying and Xi Chun, and it fit in like it was meant to be there. In Su Shui's notebook, there were no scratching outs or half-written sentences. Clearly, he worked out how he wanted to phrase everything in his mind before he committed it to paper. And the pretty, delicate flourishes of his calligraphy were all Xi Chun. His explanations were more objective than Jingyi's, more willing to consider different points of view. Where injustice made Jingyi angry, it made Su Shui sad. His perspective was less optimistic, but just as kind. He always gave credit where credit was due. Jingyi made me consider that, or Rulun reminded me that. And the sly little flashes of humor? Lan Zhan had never known what Xi Chun meant when he described his little brother's sense of humor as sneaky. But he suddenly understood, looking in the mirror of his son. The other junior's notebooks were fascinating as well. He hadn't thought he knew them so very well, met in classes here and there, sketched secondhand in Su Shui and Jingyi stories, but it was still a pleasant surprise how much he could learn. There was a wealth of thoughtfulness hidden behind Yishan's nervousness, an almost unnerving glow of patriotic fervor in Zhong Dao's convictions, and the occasional thorn-like stab of pure genius in Bo Wen's insights. Ziwa was relentlessly practical. Rolun's mind followed 5 different paths at once. And Zhang Yun had a hilarious way of writing like the most gray-bearded elder imaginable. When Lan Zhan finished reading the last line in the last notebook, he drew a deep breath and looked out across the garden. The small pond where he had planted the lotus seeds from the burial mounds was in full bloom, and felt more hopeful for his clan's future than he had in years. It was officially a discussion class, and if anyone happened to ask, Lan Zhan was prepared to say they were discussing the rules with a clear conscience. Partly for privacy, and partly to encourage the juniors to speak freely, he held it on the back hill. Perhaps a dangerous decision. He had already almost lost both Yi Sheng
and Bo Wen's attention to the rabbits. When he cleared his throat to begin, they all sat straight on their various rocks and logs, as stiff as if they were seated in their rows of desks in the lecture hall. "Thank you for all your hard work. Your dedication, thoughtfulness, and insights are a credit to our sect, and I greatly enjoyed reading everyone's notebooks." Some of them looked embarrassed, but they all looked at least somewhat proud. Qingyi was beaming fit to crack his face and tapping at Sishui's shoulder, and Lan Zhan angled a chiding look at him, full of fondness. "Is there anything about the exercise you wanted to share with the class?" There was a silence where they looked among each other. After a moment, everyone was looking at Sushui, who accepted the unspoken responsibility and sat with lips pursed for a thoughtful moment.
"At first, it was very hard to explain some of the rules, but after I had more practice, it became easier to imagine why this or that predecessor had written the rule, even if I wouldn't have done it that way myself. It was very weird, but very interesting," Qingyi put in. "The more I thought about some of them, the less sense they made. That seems very backwards."
Anyone else? Zheng Yun sat up straighter and saluted.
"The later rules became more repetitive, it seemed. Like, the people who wrote them also thought some earlier rules didn't make sense, and wrote more, rather than replacing them."
"I learned that some rules were removed," Qingyi blurted out,
and all the others nodded, apparently having also learned that shocking historical fact.
"Almost a dozen! It was very early on, and it was things that didn't apply anymore. Like, one was about not letting in people from so-and-so sect, and the sect got destroyed. So Lan Yi removed that rule."
"Some predecessors wrote more broad rules, and some wrote ones more specific," Ruo Lun shrugged uncomfortably.
All good points." Lan Zhan picked up one of the rabbits nosing at his feet and held it in his lap, gently stroking its long ears. He politely ignored the way some of the juniors stared.
"Jingyi, you remember when I first suggested this exercise, that I said there would be another part?"
Jingyi nodded, eyes alight with interest. "Yeah! I mean, yes, Hongguanjun."
The rabbit was burying its nose in his robes, and Lan Zhan folded his arms close to his side to give it somewhere secure to tuck itself. "You have greatly expanded your knowledge of the rules in attempting to understand the purpose of their writers." The juniors bobbed 8 nods. "The final thing I would have you do is to put aside all those rules and begin again." They all stared at him.
"Please, Hongguanjun, what do you mean by begin again?"
Sushui asked in his sweet, serious voice. "There are rules that you do not think make sense. Rules that seem to mean something different than when you originally read them. Rules that seem to repeat each other or contradict each other.
He looked at them levelly. I would have you each write down what you would have the Wall of Rules say, if it were a blank slate.
Oh, Jingyi said. Oh, that's a lot.
Not necessarily, Yishan argued quietly. Teacher didn't say we have to make the same number.
You do not, Lan Zhan agreed. So, we're trying to make a list without any of those problems?
Jingyi shifted like he would like to get to his feet and pace, and his fingers open and closed on the ends of his sleeves.
Huh. That will probably be hard.
Is there a certain number we have to have? Bowen asked.
Lan Zhan shrugged gently. It is up to you. What amount would you find suitable?
Well, I would start with the most important things, then go from there, Su Shui mused.
Do not associate with evil should be way higher up than don't eat more than 3 bowls, Zuhua muttered.
But we shouldn't just pick and choose rules. We need to write it from scratch, right?
Jingyi's forehead creased in a frustrated look. Oh, this will be hard.
What if the best list of rules is very short? Su Shui said, apparently to the rabbit at his feet.
What if no rules is the best? Jingyi blurted out,
and everyone gave him a scandalized look. Some of those looks turned to interest, though.
Is that even an option?
Su Shui asked, and everyone turned to Lan Zhan for the answer.
If you think it best, then certainly.
Somehow, that answer made them look even more confused. There was that muddle of looks that coalesced into everyone looking at Su Shui again.
What do you think, Han Guangjun? His son asked.
Lan Zhan raised his eyebrows.
This exercise is for you all. I would not wish to unduly influence your opinions.
What unduly? Jingyi cried, offended. Of course we value your opinion. Forget about the exercise. I just want to know.
We're going to be talking to each other about our opinions, Su Shui contributed mildly. I can listen to what Jingyi thinks and still think my own thoughts, and we can do the same with Han Guangjun's opinion.
Lan Zhan took a long moment to think. He had considered this before. How could he not have? But trying to put his thoughts into a form that would make sense to the juniors took time.
There are rules everywhere, in every sect, he said finally.
Eh? Jingyi said. I thought only we had a wall of rules, Zhong Dao protested.
They are not all written down, but there are rules everywhere there are people, Lan Zhan said firmly, conviction in every word. Everywhere. Do not speak to this member of the gentry if you are not highborn. Use this style of sword. Look out for the cats who live in the streets and catch rats. In Yumeng, speak to fellow cultivators casually. Run to help if the dam starts to fail.
The only punishment you would receive for breaking them might be censure, but... He felt a flicker of an old unease. Some people are naturally good at identifying and living by such rules. Some are not. I think having them written down makes it more fair for everyone. They all digested that for a while.
I do think 3,000 rules is too many, Jing Yi finally said thoughtfully. Making fewer might mean they're more general, but that just means we would have to think about them more. This whole time, all we've been doing is thinking about the rules, and I think that's very helpful. There should be primary and secondary rules, Zuhua said suddenly. How can don't argue with a friend be as important as be righteous when your friend is unrighteous and you should argue with them?
Then they were all talking, over and around each other, an energetic and interested mess of voices. It sounded more like complicated music than noise to Lan Zhan, who settled in comfortably to pet the rabbit and listen to them.
Chapter 32 The Future Lan Zhan wasn't in the middle of the chaos. Rather, he was about 10 yards up from it, on the rooftop, sending occasional targeted blasts from his chin and regarding the situation more and regretting the situation more every moment. It was a report of just a few fierce corpses, which should have been a perfectly reasonable training mission for 8 junior disciples as skilled as Su Shui's class. Unfortunately, the report had arrived too late for them to reach the small farming community before all but a few runners were felled as well. Now the juniors were only just holding their own against nearly 20 corpses, most much bigger than themselves. And Lan Zhan was working hard to not take over the field entirely. It wasn't purely a matter of him wishing for the juniors to still get the experience, either. They fought as a unit, used to each other through hours and hours of practice, even up to blindfolded drills on the balance beam course where they learned to sense their fellows' movements without even thinking about it. Lan Zhan had not had that much practice fighting in their midst. It was likely they would either be too aware of his presence and slip up, or otherwise miscalculate and end up injuring themselves or him.
Rolun! That was the last talisman! We have to just cut them down now!
Which didn't make it any easier to stand to the side and watch the whole battlefield. They were doing well, though. He felt a sting of pride every time Zuhua watched Bo Wen's back, every time Su Shui and Jing Yi moved like two halves of the same person, and the others parted around them like water.
I think we're winning! Jing Yi shouted.
And they were, until a second wave came. Decisively, Lan Zhan flew down from the rooftop and landed in the archway at the side of the courtyard where the fight was taking place. Zhang Dao had just seen the first of the new wave of corpses and was shouting a warning to the others. Lan Zhan took the coil of string from his sleeve and set its two ends deep into the posts of the archway.
Get down, he shouted.
The juniors did not hesitate and dropped instantly into the dirt. As soon as they were down, Lan Zhan shot his arm forwards and yanked it back, setting the string vibrating with a wave of white energy that swept through the courtyard and struck every corpse that had already entered there. Most of them dissolved to dust, while a few fell with solid thumps. The dust was a problem, with the children on the ground as they were, and Lan Chan stepped into the courtyard and summoned a gust of wind to blow it away.
Hang on, Jun!
Jing Yi gasped, and the juniors all got to their feet with varying degrees of poise to face the 10 or so corpses who were left. Lan Chan sensed movement behind him at the same time he saw one of the fallen corpses lurch forward, blade first at Bo Wen, who had dropped awkwardly and was still struggling to his feet. He sent Bi Chen out to intercept that blade, and swung his scabbard up behind him to catch the blow aimed at himself, which left no defense for the third corpse. One of the juniors screamed his title as the new corpse slashed down at his neck. Lan Chan caught the blow with his arm instead, grunting with the effort of holding it back, and kicked back at the other corpse to free his scabbard. Then Zhang Yun was there to cut it down. Bi Chen, summoned back, pierced through the third corpse on the way, and Lan Chan dropped the scabbard to hold his sword one-handed.
"Hey, over here! Fight us!"
Jing Yi shouted at the remaining foes, and Lan Chan shot him a useless glare.
"We've got them, Hong Kong Jun!"
They did. The final corpses fell within moments, and then Lan Chan was swarmed again, this time with disciples rather than corpses.
"Hong Kong Jun, are you all right? Shall I carry your scabbard for you?"
"Oh, that's a lot of blood."
Lan Chan handed Bi Chen to Jing Yi, who fumbled it briefly before sheathing it, and watching Lan Chan with eyes so wide the white was visible all around them. Some of the children looked a little pale, first at the blood flowing down their teacher's arm, then at the jumble of fallen corpses. Lan Chan was going to reassure them, but Su Shui spoke first.
"That didn't go too badly. Let's gather the bodies to prepare to bury them as soon as we're rested. I'll make sure Hang Wenjun is okay."
He accepted Bi Chen from Jing Yi and smiled at his fellow disciples.
"That was much more than we expected. I think we did a good job."
"Thanks, Su Shui," Bo Wen said on a sigh, and the others echoed him.
"Are you sure you're okay?"
Zhang Yun asked hesitantly. He was the palest of them all, and Lan Zhan gave him the most reassuring look he could. As the other juniors got to work, Su Shui led his father to the nearest stoop to sit. Lan Chan did, trusting his son to guide him as he focused on his arm. When they sat down, Su Shui propped his and his father's swords against the wall before reaching out to check Lan Chan's injured arm.
"How bad is it?"
"Not very," Lan Chan said truthfully. Su Shui looked concerned, but he wasn't pale and frightened like the others. He had helped mop his father's blood off the Qingshi's floorboards too many times to be fazed by something like this. "There are tendons severed as well as blood vessels, but I can hold them together while they heal."
"I will help."
Su Shui took his blood-slicked hand, linked two fingers up to touch the wrist, and started feeding a trickle of spiritual energy into the wound.
"Thank you,"
Lan Chan said softly. Perhaps Su Shui had inherited a gift for healing from his first family. The wound already hurt less.
"How are you?"
Su Shui gave the question due consideration. Nanjan indulged himself and looked at his son while he waited. He was still smaller than his peers, delicate and fine-boned, but strong and steady. His cheeks were starting to slim down as he grew, but his eyes and mouth were still soft. His small hands were calloused from sword and chin, and there was a little scar above his eye from a bad fall. Wei Yun might not have recognized him, but maybe the rest of his family would have. After all, there was still something of Wen Chonglin in his eyes, a flash of Wen Qin in the way he raised his chin when preparing to argue. There were probably signs of all the others as well. And the way he was thinking about his words was Lan Chan. The gentle strength with which he held his hand was Xu Chen. The way he didn't wait for permission was Jing Yi.
I don't think I'll ever really enjoy fighting something like this, he said finally. But it's something worth doing. If there were more cultivators like Father, who were willing and able to help these kinds of people, maybe things wouldn't have ended so badly. He smiled his sweet, unguarded smile. I think we can do it. The others think the same. I know it. We'll make Gu Sulan proud.
The boy was a member of his clan, and that eased some old hurt in him that Lan Zhan hadn't even known was there. It was worth it. It is well. It will be better still. Lan Zhan wiped the blood from his uninjured hand on his sleeve and reached out to brush Su Shui's cheek. A touch as light as a butterfly's wing, but without anything like hesitation. You make me proud, he said, and meant it more than he had ever meant any words in his life. Su Shui beamed, his smile the happiest and humblest, I know, imaginable. And I am proud of Father, too. The end. Thanks for listening. If you made it all the way through, drop me a rabbit emoji in the comments. Cheers. Have a nice day.